Our Bibles today to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The first part of this chapter relates the birth of our Savior, but I want to begin our reading in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, who was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Now, most of these verses which I have just read concern what happened the day the Lord Jesus Christ was carried by Mary and Joseph into the temple in Jerusalem. He was approximately 6 weeks of age. And this fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy that was given by the prophet Haggai. Haggai had prophesied that to this temple, the rebuilt temple, after they came back out of captivity in Babylon, that the desire of all nations should come. Now, the desire of all nations is the seed which was promised to Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And you notice here in our text some of the words of Simeon in verse 30, he said, For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, not just the Jews, but all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. The desire of all nations had been brought to the temple in Jerusalem. We read of 2 older persons, that day in the temple, one by the name of Simeon, and then a widow named Anna. And it is this last person of whom I want to speak this morning. It's about this widow. And there are four things that are mentioned about her that I'm going to call our attention to, the Lord willing. And I pray, the psalmist David in Psalm 119, he said, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." And my prayer is that God's word will enter into our hearts today to give us light, give us understanding, give us knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it was like for this older man, Simeon, to take this baby, 6 weeks of age? That's a small child, isn't it? And yet to take this baby up in his arms and to confess, "I have seen thy salvation." He didn't see God's salvation in a plan. He didn't see God's salvation in the Roman road. He saw God's salvation where it is, in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But it is four things about this widow that I want to call our attention to. And I pray that God will bless His word to all of us here. First of all, her name. Her name, verse 36, Hannah. Now, Hannah is the Greek form of the name Hannah. Anna is the Greek form of the Hebrew named Hannah. We're all familiar with Hannah in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel, the mother of Samuel. How she prayed for a son, and God gave her a son, Samuel. And her name, Hannah, means favored. Favored. Now, when we think of favor, we automatically think of grace. Gracious or favored. Grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. And you know in the Scriptures, many times a person's name reveals their characteristics or things about them. And this woman, her name was Anna, gracious or favored. And someone would surely ask this question, how could she be considered favored? How could she possibly be considered favored when she became a widow at such a very young age? Let me remind us of this, and hear me now, everyone here. We live in a day, and we live in a time when most people believe that God's favor only concerns material things. People believe that they are favored if they are wealthy. They're favored if they are healthy. They're favored if they have all the things that this world has to offer. That's not always the case. And we know that God's favor has to do with spiritual blessings, with spiritual things. I would say this morning, those are favored who have a poor spirit, who are poor in spirit. I would say that those are highly favored who mourn over their sinful condition. I would say that those are favored who are meek, who are teachable. And I would say those who are favored who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And why would I say that? Because our Lord said that. That's the reason I would say this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're favored, you're blessed, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because one day soon you're going to need a righteousness that God will accept. And you cannot render unto Him that righteousness. You can't do it. But thank God for the promise. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall. They shall be filled. Hannah, she was favored. And I want you to notice also that we are told the name of her father. Look, if you will, here in verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel. Now, Phanuel is the same word as Penuel. You say, well, what does that mean? That's the name. Penuel is the name that Jacob gave to that place where he wrestled, or an angel of the Lord wrestled with him all night. And the reason Jacob said that he gave that name to this place was because I have seen God face to face. It was the pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, that appeared there that night and wrestled with Jacob. And Jacob wrestled with him. Now, Jacob was no match for an angel. He was no match for an angel. But the Lord wrestled with him. And he put his hip out of joint, didn't he? And for the rest of his days, Jacob went limping along. God's going to knock the legs out from underneath those that He intends to bless. Men are high and haughty and riding on their high horse, just like Saul of Tarsus. But God has a way. Jacob called this place Peniel, because I have seen the Lord face to face. And now here comes one of Jacob's daughters, one of his great, 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 great granddaughters, Anna. And she came just at this instant, and she saw that baby that Simeon held up, and she saw the face of God. God Almighty, the eternal God, the Lord God, the eternal Son, manifest in the flesh. The second thing about her is her age. Now, we're taught, and rightly so, you never ask the lady her age. I'll only mention this because the Scripture does. And we're told that she was of a great age. Now, what's a great age in the Bible? For us, a great age might be 90, 85, 80, 70, 75. For some of you, a great age would be 50. For some of you, it might be 30. But what is a great age in the Scripture, in the Word of God? Well, this woman was clearly over 100 years of age. She would not have been given in marriage until she was at least 12 and a half years old. That's the time that the Jews allowed a young lady, young woman, young girl to be given in marriage, 12 and a half years of age. And she was married, and she lived with her husband for 7 years. And he died. That would make her 19 and a half at least. And then we are told she lived 84 years as a widow woman. That would mean that this woman was over 103 years of age. Great age. Why do I call this out to us? Why do I point this out to us that she was of great age? Well, for two reasons. First of all, I mention her age because I want to impress upon all of us here today, myself and everyone here, that God's children never retire from serving the Lord. And never retire from serving the Lord. You notice this woman, 100 and some years of age, and yet we're told she served God with fasting and prayers night and day. She served God. As long as God keeps us in this world, and He's the one who keeps us here, He's the one who gives us our breath. Every breath, He gives it to us. And our days are numbered. Our time is fixed in this world. The Scripture is very clear about that. My times, the psalmist said, my times are in His hands. The time of our birth, the time of our new birth, and the time when we will leave this world. It's fixed of God, and thank God it is. But as long as we remain, I'm talking to God's children today, those who are favored, who are greatly favored, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As long as we are in this world, here's a woman over 100 years of age, and yet she's serving God with fasting and prayers night and day. We never get to the age that we retire from God's service. As long as He keeps us in this world, it may be in a rest home, it may be on a hospital bed, however, wherever, but as long as God gives us breath, as long as we remain in this world, if we are His children, we have a ministry and we are to serve Him. It may be just by praying. And I shouldn't say it like that, because prayer is a wonderful work, and it's a great work, and it's a needful work. And when we can't get out of bed, and when we can't walk and talk or whatever, we can call upon God and pray for God's blessing upon the ministry of His Word and upon those who preach the gospel. As long as God keeps us in this world, we are to maintain good works. But the second reason I point her age out to us is this. I want to impress upon us the faithfulness of God to supply the needs of His children. 80-some years she had lived as a widow. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have things of that nature back then. But I'll tell you what she had. She had something better than Social Security. She had something that was never going to run dry. Never going to default. You say, what's that? She had God. She had God who had promised to meet her needs. Just as He has promised you and I to meet our needs. And in the Scriptures, we find this about widows and orphans. God especially is concerned about widows and orphans. And He has promised that if widows or orphans are afflicted and they cry unto Him, that He will surely hear their cry. He declared Himself to be a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. Anna had been a widow now 84 years. And just like in the days of Elijah, you remember the widow of Zarephath. When Elijah showed up on her door, she had just enough meal in a barrel and just enough oil in a cruse to make one cake or two cakes, one for her, one for her son. And that would be their last meal in this world. And yet, 3.5 years, Elijah stayed there. And every morning when she went to that barrel, she looked over the side and there was meal in the barrel. and looked at the cruise, and there was oil in the cruise every day. And that doesn't surprise us at all, does it? God said, I have commanded a widow there to sustain the Elijah. God is not limited. You know that scripture in Psalm 37 and verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Now that's first. Trust and believe in Christ. Trust in Him. Know Him as your Lord and Savior. Trust in the Lord and then do good. We are to maintain good works, yes. And no work is a good work if we do not first of all trust in the Lord. Because that which is not of faith is sin. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, or truly, that should be truly, thou shalt be fed. Now, third, I want you to notice her conduct. First of all, her name, gracious or favored, her age. Now, her conduct in verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Her conduct, she gave thanks unto the Lord. Now, the likewise refers to Simeon. The first thing that Simeon did you notice this as we read this? The first thing that Simeon did was he blessed the Lord. Then took he him up in his arms, verse 28, and blessed God. The very first thing that Simeon did was to give thanks or to bless God. The same is true likewise of Anna. And that leads me to say this, that God's children are thankful people. God's children are thankful people. I took the time this past week, and I want you to look with me. I took the time to look at the places in the Scripture, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where we are told specifically that the Lord Jesus Christ gave thanks. There are four places, and I want us to look at them. The first one is in Matthew chapter 11. Now, I'm not saying by any means that the Lord only gave thanks unto God four times during His earthly ministry. But I am saying that I found these four times that are mentioned in the Word of God. First, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, the Scripture says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. The first thing we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ thanked God for was God's sovereign grace. God's sovereign grace. That God reveals these truths unto the babes. And they are hidden from the wise and the prudent. Those who are worldly wise, those who are so proud, they know everything. No one can teach them anything. These things are hidden from them. But the Lord Jesus thanked God. Thanked his Father that he had revealed these things unto babes. Don't ever be ashamed of God's sovereign grace, my friends. I know we're a small group, and that's true all over this world. We're God's little flock. I recognize that. But I'm telling you on authority of the Word of God, God is sovereign. And the dispensing of His grace He does in a sovereign manner. He calls and He saves whom He will. Our Lord thanked God, His Father, for God's distinguishing sovereign grace. All right, notice the next time in chapter 15 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15, verses 25 and 26. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong passage. 35. Matthew 15, 35. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ fed 4,000 men, not counting women and children. And we see here that he thanked the Father for his provisions. That's a custom, but it's a good custom that we have before we eat our meals, that we acknowledge and we give thanks unto the Lord for giving us food. I've heard and known of some men who came from very poor countries. I think of some men I heard about who came from the country of India, came to this States to go to Bible college. And they thanked God before they ate, and after they ate, they thanked God again. And I know by experience, it's so easy to go through a farm, isn't it? To bow your head and say some words, repeat the same thing. God, help us to be thankful. Make us thankful for his rich provisions. Our Lord did. He thanked the Lord for the bread and for the fish. Just a little amount, really. But with his blessing, with God's blessing, it fed over 4,000 people. Now, one other place, two other times, but one other place. In Luke chapter 22, if you will. Luke chapter 22 and verse 17, and then we'll see the fourth place in this same chapter. But in Luke 22 and verse 17, the scripture says, and he took the cup and gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Now this cup, now listen to me. When the Lord gave thanks, he took that cup and he gave thanks. This was the last Passover that was ever to be celebrated. That type that God had given them way back in Exodus when they came out of Egypt, that type was now being fulfilled. The Lord gave thanks. Notice he said with desire, in verse 15, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Christ is our Passover. That Passover type was fulfilled. You know what that picture, don't you? The blood, God passing over sinners under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now the other place, look down just a few verses in verses 19 and 20. And he took bread and gave thanks. This is when the King of Saints, the King of Kings, King of his church, when he gave a new commandment to his church, to those like you and I. He took the bread. Picture that in your mind. Take a few minutes now. The Lord Jesus Christ took that bread and he gave thanks. Now that bread symbolized what he was about to experience. It was going to be broken. He was going to suffer. He was going to be beaten, nailed to a tree, flesh broken, and he gave thanks. He gave thanks. You see the willingness, I might even say the anxiousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd to lay down his life for his sheep, to purchase his church with his own blood. And then we read, likewise, verse 20, likewise also the cup. So he gave thanks for the bread, which pictured his broken body, and he gave thanks for the cup, which pictured his blood poured out for sinners. Now, one other thing about Hannah, back in our text, Luke chapter 2, her message. We've seen her name, her age, her conduct, and now her message, and this is so important. Who's she going to talk about? And she coming in that instant, verse 38, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him. She spake of him. She didn't go out speaking about a system of theology. Nothing wrong with a good system of theology. We need one. But that was not her message. Her message was him. Him. Jesus Christ. And his redemption. Notice that. Spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. There are four words, four Greek words in the New Testament, which are translated by our English words, redeem, redeemed, redemption. And all of them, all of these Greek words, cast a little different shade of meaning on our Lord's redemption. But the word which is used here, it means deliverance through Christ's death. She spoke of him to all them that look for redemption, for deliverance, deliverance from the guilt of sin, deliverance from the power of sin, and deliverance from the penalty of sin. She spoke of him. We know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's a wonderful short history, isn't it, of a widow woman by Anna. What a testimony. What an encouragement to each and every one of us here today. Do you know him? Do you? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you do, you'll speak of him. You won't be talking about a lot of other stuff, but you'll be talking about him. Let us sing a hymn and we'll be dismissed.